Well, I want to also associate myself with those who are of the view that rally is an embarrassment to the government. It's not just an embarrassment to the government, but I think it's an embarrassment to Nigeria as a nation. Because what that means precisely is that there seems to be a major gap between the government and the people. And if such a celebrated crime is in the process of being resolved, or at least concerted efforts on parts of the citizens and government have been put in place to resolve it, it will be astonishing, you know, to say just a day or two after one of the principal accused persons have been arrested, he has escaped, you know, from the police authorities. What that simply means, therefore, is that there is a glaring weakness on the part of the national security forces, and to me, this will go further to discredit whatever vital information they might have, you know, supplied Nigerians on the source, the origin, and even the character of the crisis that we have at hand. So it's not just, in my view, an embarrassment to the government of Nigeria, but it's also a very serious embarrassment to the Nigerian people.
Now, Professor Mato, some people are expressing concern that this goes a long way to buttress President Goodluck Jonathan's point that Boko Haram seem to have a lot of sympathizers within the various arms of government. Do you think it's a worrying development?
Well, I don't want to think so. I challenge the president on that statement, and I see it as highly unprecedented for many reasons. One of the reasons, of course, being that it is quite untenable for the president of Nigeria to come out and tell us that he is helpless. I mean, that particular statement signified some measure of helplessness on the part of the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of Nigeria. So if he does not feel safe, then what about ordinary Nigerians like me and several others that walk the streets, you know, without any hope? That means we are completely insecure. So I think that statement was most unfortunate, and it characterizes the kind of statements that we often hear from our president, which more often than not we do caution that as a president, one should learn to speak with some measure of correctness and accurateness on very complicated issues such as this. If you say, you know, the mastermind, or if you know if they are part of your government, I'm surprised that the president or anybody in the government, for that matter, is unable to identify, even if it is one member, you know, and let's expose him to Nigeria and subject him to the rigors of the Nigerian law and see if truly he is found wanting, he is given the necessary treatment that that he deserves. But for very important public officials like the president to simply make sweeping statements, in my view, again, compounds the very fragility of the national structure crisis which we are facing at the moment in this country. Yes, it exposes the level of helplessness with which a lot of us are walking the streets in this country, because the question of insecurity of life and property, I think, cut across virtually most of parts of the country and across social strata. So it is quite unfortunate, and I think there is a need for people in positions of political authority to be very mindful of the statements they make, especially at critical moments on very critical issues that have been most disturbing to Nigerians in the last several months.
Now, Professor Mato, what are your views concerning concerns raised by people who suggest President Goodluck Jonathan should have fired some people in his cabinet who he has given positions of authority to in terms of securing and protecting the people?
Well, unfortunately, the idea of responsibility on the part of people who are in position of authority in Nigeria has not been part of our political culture. In fact, we have seen successively that when government officials commit heinous crimes, they insist on maintaining their positions unless otherwise. Again, to this matter, a lot of political positions in this country, in my view, are occupied not through the regular process of political recruitment, but many other things are put into it. The issue of nepotism, the issue of who you are, who you know, where you come from, etc., etc. And let me remind you that Nigeria is a federal system. And in federal systems such as the one that we have, that is characterized by very deep-seated economic backwardness, where poverty is the reign, is the order rather than exception, where you know, the competition among the upper class and the various ethnic groups in the region tend to be the major item of the agenda. Appointments into these specific and very important positions are not really based on merit, but on who you are and who you know and probably what you can do. So that, in my view, will inform the reason why probably nobody within the security cycles has so far been fired. And this is also when we place it against the background of other very huge, you know, budgetary allocations that normally go to the security sector in the name of protecting our lives and property. And every day we're further exposed. Every day we're endangered by this, you know, attacks that are coming from left, right, and center. So it is not part of our political tradition in Nigeria to do that, and I want to think that it is incumbent not just on the president, but relevant political officers must have to begin to own up to obvious deficiencies that emerge from their respective posts where they are sent to work. So I don't expect that it has to be the president that will come out and say, I am sacking the National Security Advisor, but that these respective officers too should own up to the fact that they are unable to do what they are supposed to do. The first responsibility of government, as you know, of course, is the protection of life and property. That is the basic, you know, principle behind the Westphalian state system. And in our own case, if the government cannot protect your life, cannot protect your property, and you continue to pay tax, then you technically will say you have a situation that the state has failed. And unfortunately, I don't want to think that the state that we are in now. I hope that there is still a lot of room for the government and the president to try to rectify some of these problems so that some confidence can be built, you know, in the minds of Nigerians, and then we live again as a people in peace and harmony. And all this, you know, militancy and insurgency that we're seeing from all over the place, is reduced. And like I keep saying, these are basically products of very weak social policies that are structured in the very manner in which government and administration has been conducted in the country. To be fair, it is not what the government of Goodluck Jonathan has created. It is a culmination of, you know, a crisis that it has inherited. But then, of course, they didn't just come to us and ask for our votes and our mandate simply because they didn't understand the magnitude of the issues at stake. They must have understood what problems we have before they asked for a mandate. And so we will not listen to any excuse rather than ensuring that they secure a life, secure property, and then life keeps moving. Even if the basic infrastructure that supports life, such as electricity, education, health, transportation, and so on and so forth, are in eclectic supply in Nigeria, at least we need that protection over our life and our property.
Some Nigerians are saying that this is yet another event that shows the incompetence and the porousness of the Nigerian security structure. Do you share that view?
Well, it's not a matter of sharing the views or not. Lives are lost by the minute in this country. It's not also a secret that we have insurgency across the country. We have, you know, criminal tendencies here and there. And, yeah, you know, the inability of the security agencies to really bring this, you know, very vexed issues to resolution, in my view, speaks volume. One does not need to open his mouth to say that the security agencies are capable or incapable. It is very clear. The handwriting is very clear on the wall. It is all over the place. It is violence here. It is violence there. It is loss of life here. Loss of life there. So this has become a routine in this country. Ordinarily, in societies where you find stability, where the security is in good order, whenever you have a loss of life, it is, you know, a big news. But here, it is when 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people are massacred, or they are murdered, or they are killed, that is still a non-issue. It is merely reported on the pages of our newspapers and over radio and television stations. So the competence or otherwise of the Nigerian security apparatus is, I think it's more like, you know, the philosophical saying that there goes the mirror. It's left for them to take a look at the mirror. If they like what they see, fine. If they don't like what they see, breaking the mirror will not change the image that they have. So we simply straightforward and short answer on safe in Nigeria.